We are starting a brand new series, The Core Truths of Life. We are going to be going through what I think are the core truths of life, the undeniable, irrevocable truths that we have. And this is just as people. This is not just as Christians. This series, the way I had envisioned it, was any person could pick up a book called The Core Truths of Life, and these truths would be in it, whether you're atheist, Buddhist, Hindu, Mormon, Baptist, Catholic, I don't care who you are, these are going to be life statements that I think are going to ring true with everyone. Now, some of them, I have to admit, are going to go counter to the culture that we have. Some of them are going to go right along with the culture that we have. Some of them are going to be even culture-specific when we talk about baby boomers versus the next generation, Gen X, some differences that happen there. It'll be very interesting. But I picked out seven core truths that I think are undeniable and unmistakably true in our life. And so that's what we're going to do. And I want you to, first of all, turn to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, because I want to read a fascinating little thing. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles right in the back over there. If you do not own a Bible, you may keep that Bible as your friend and write in your friend and read your friend and have fun with your friend and spend time with your friend, the Bible, as we take a look at this. Now, I have to admit, we are going to be shifting gears just slightly when it comes to the sermon style, because we are now no longer going through a book of the Bible. We will not actually just be reading through text and understanding it and then applying it. We're going to be going more on a topical basis, and what that means is we're going to have a lot of passages flip back and forth and back and forth. I've got a lot of them on PowerPoint, but I wanted to introduce via John 18. So just kind of John 18, 28, just kind of have it open there, and I want to talk a little bit about what this first core truth is. And the first core truth that I think is there is truth. I believe there is truth. I believe that's a core truth. Now, granted, in the title, Core Truths of Life, I am presupposing that truth actually exists. Now, this again, for anyone that would fall into a baby boomer classification or a builder generation, truth is kind of taken for granted. You would say, yes, truth is there. Truth, we can receive truth. We can give truth. We can find truth. We can logically deduce truth. The power of reason is very powerful. But the problem is, when you get into my generation and people my age and younger, there is a new belief system, and that is everything is relative. That is the prevailing thought pattern of most people that are starting, emerging in that young workforce area, and that is they believe that there is no truth. Now, please understand that I believe that there are things that are relevant, right? Relative. I believe that there are things that are relative in life. I believe that there are more things relative than maybe the previous generation has taught us. But I don't believe we throw the baby out with the bathwater and say at that point there is absolutely no truth whatsoever. What are some things that are relative? Can everyone please point to the right? No, it's that way. Yeah, exactly. That's relative. Someone said that I was looking pretty good today. I was pretty dressed up. What do you think? Am I pretty dressed up today? Compared to jeans and a t-shirt, yes. But compared to the President of the United States, I'm looking like a schlep. Yes, exactly. There are things in life that are relative. What if I told you that I would be glad to give you, free of charge, two pairs of tickets to the Amy Grant concert at Vineyard Anaheim? Who would want those? Does that sound good? It's over. That's right. The value of the tickets is all very relative, right? Before the concert, they cost something like $20 or something like that. But after the concert is over, those pieces of paper have just lost their value. What's the value of that? It's all relative. Same thing with the stuff you have in your wallet or don't have in your wallet, right? Money. How valuable is this? This is a piece of paper, people. Come on now. This is a piece of paper. You're saying this is worth $10? Yeah, it's all relative because of the one and the zero, and we have backing from it. There are a lot of things in life that I believe are relative, but I still believe that there is, in fact, a thing called truth. Look back at John 18, verse 28. What does your heading say there? Jesus before Pilate. It's a very fascinating thing that happens when Jesus starts speaking.
Oh, where am I looking at?
Yes. Skip forward to verse 35. No, I'm sorry, 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are they king of the Jews?" Jesus, in very good form, never answers a question right on. He always usually likes to ask a question back. And he says, "Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me?" He's trying to look, he's trying to probe a little bit, see if this guy's got a little faith, kind of needle him a little bit. "Hey, is this your own idea? Did you come up with that idea that I'm the king of the Jews, or did just someone tell you that? Is this true, real, genuine faith, or are you just going off what other people say?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "How can I answer this question, and how could you be the king of anything, because I'm not a Jew? It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And then Pilate asked the question we all want to ask: what is truth? Pilate was coming from a really good relative society. Everything was kind of relative. How can we say that something is true or something is not true? And again, this is very pervasive. I just went and did my jury duty this past Thursday. I was very excited to go and fulfill my civic obligation to the courts and to this nation. And it was really interesting because I got called up into a courtroom. And how many of you have been on jury service before? Okay, so for those of you that don't know, it's really fascinating. About 30 of you from this jury pool go up into the courtroom. They select 18 out of the 30 and they get thrown into the box. And then they start the interview process to find out who's going to actually be the 12 jury members. Well, I was never called into the box, which is why I'm still here today. I'm not going to be serving on a jury. My jury duty is over. But one guy who actually was a reverend, who had just the coolest voice. He was this big black guy, and he had this coolest voice. I mean, I would go hear that guy preach any day of the week. Very fascinating. And he had a really hard time talking with the lawyers because he said, "How am I supposed to determine what the truth is? There are only a few people that will know what the truth is." And it was this lady that had gotten hit in the back by a bread cart at Smart and Final. And so she was suing because she got slip discs and head injuries and all this stuff like that. And she had all the surgery and stuff. And the guy says, "There are only a couple of people that know the truth. The guy pushing the bread cart, the lady, and God." At that point, how am I supposed to determine it? And the judge was really quick to answer, saying, "You will decide the truth. It will be your logic, your reason that's going to deduce from the facts given. You're going to find out who's truth-telling and who is lying." Again, very fascinating that you can indeed discover truth if you still want to. Now, I'm going to take a little shot here against the idea that there are no absolutes. Have you ever heard that phrase, "there are no absolutes"? That's a good Gen X term saying that everything is relative. There's no absolute. You cannot make an absolute statement at all. So philosophically, though, this just kind of crumbles. Have you ever tried this? Someone says to you, "Look, you cannot say that there is truth. You cannot say that there is a God that dispenses truth because there are no absolutes." And then all you have to do is look at them and say, "Is that an absolute statement?" Yeah, think about that. It takes a little bit while to kind of go around in your brain. Yeah, they have just made an absolute statement saying that there were no absolutes. Doesn't work, does it? So then they say, "Well, no, I guess that's not absolute." Well, then that means there could be absolutes. Philosophically, there has to be a thing called truth, and there has to be a thing called lies. I mean, even the courts still do that, right? They had us do it. Put your hand. I don't love, where do you put your hand? The Bible. Yeah, this still cracks me up. "We are an atheistic society." Oh, yeah, "in God we trust, and I pledge allegiance under God," and put your hand on the Bible and say, "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." So even the courts are still acknowledging that there is this idea of truth. Now, why is this important? Exactly. Yeah, you know, I that is one question every time I start a sermon or a sermon series. I ask myself the very important question: who really cares? Because we could sit here and philosophize all day long about there are no absolutes. Well, there is absolutes. There's truth. There's lies. It's all printed on our money. It's still on the courts. But what does that have to really do with today? Well, Let's go through this. First of all, I want to establish, if there is truth, then the opposite must exist. And that is lies. There are truths and there are lies. Now, granted, there is this little gray area that some people like to call half-truth. I'm sorry, what is a half-truth? It is a lie. You can't get away from it. If you want to try and tell a half-truth, that's the reason why the courts say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Everything I say will be truth dispensed from my mouth. I will not throw in the half-truth, because half-truths are in and of themselves lies. So if there is lies, then there must be a perpetuator of lies. There must be someone in charge of lying in this world. There must be some person. Now, do we know who that person is? Yes. Let's take a look right here on PowerPoint, John chapter 8. Jesus is talking and he says, he, Satan, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, Lyonese, for he is. I ripped that off of another pastor. I heard him say that. It was kind of cool. Ed Young from Fellowship Church. A Lyonese. He speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. So now we're kind of trying to just establish. We're trying to seek, trying to understand, trying to learn. So we have on one side Satan. Who do we have on the other side? John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. The truth, Jesus claims, is going to be with him. Now I'm looking around at some of your Bibles. I want to do a quick little thing for you. So if you are using our Bibles that we give to you, I don't think it's going to have it in the back. Most Bibles have in their back a thing that's called a concordance. And that way, if you hear a word, you could look it up in this concordance and find out how many times that word shows up. Just take a peek, if you could. Turn in the back. And it should kind of look like, not like a dictionary, but it's going to have words, and then it's going to have all the times that that word shows up in the Bible. And look up truth. Out of curiosity. Now, I'm sorry if you don't have, if you have one of our Bibles that we gave you, chances are it's probably not going to be there. Is it in the back? I don't think ours. Yeah, our cheapy Bibles don't have it in the back. I'm really sorry. But let's just take a look. Can you, if you want to show someone else, if someone next to you doesn't have a concordance in their Bible, show them how many times truth, truthful, truthfulness, truths show up. Do you even want to count them? There is a lot. If you were looking at my Bible right here, you're going to have it from Genesis 42:16, and it's going to go all the way down to here. All these are passages that use the word truth. Now, take a look at the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John section. Out of curiosity, who do you think is talking at that moment in time? Our friend Jesus. And he is always saying his famous phrase of, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. So, we've got a proponent of truth, and we've got a proponent of lies. And here's where the kicker comes in. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is when things start getting really interesting. Because you can take this statement to the bank if you want. You are going to live your life by the truths that you hold. Whatever you have established as truth, now, and I'm not here to judge that right now. It'd take a long time to go through and find out what truth you actually believe in. But if you hold a certain truths, your life is going to reflect those truths that you hold. So philosophically talking about truth is actually very important, because there is a lie that's going around that's saying that people are not valuable, that people are expendable, that human life is really not that important. If you hold to that truth, what will you become? You'll become a hateful person, filled with prejudice, filled with anger, because if I don't value your life, then who really cares about you? Do you see how this is working? Also, if you don't value other people's property, if you say that other people's property is not important to you and that's not a truth you live by, then what are you going to eventually do? Steal. Eventually you're going to say, well, it's okay. I don't care if you have that. I want it. And if it's not important to me, if it's not a truth that I hold to, then I will take what doesn't belong to me. If you hold on to the truth that there is no life after death, You get one shot around this crazy planet called Earth. If that is your truth that you hold on to, what are you going to become? What are you going to do? You're going to become a party animal. You're going to turn into college kids all over again. Eat, drink, and be merry. Who really cares? Because if there is no life after death, why in the world are you guys sitting here? Go home. Eat some chocolate waxy donuts. There is no purpose for you being here. If that's the truth that you hold to, if you believe that there is no life after death, then go ahead. Live it up. Have a great time. The problem that I see with most people is that people either don't know or don't care about the truth. Would you agree with that? I start talking about truth and people are like, nah, 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 nah. Who really cares? I really don't care about truth. That's all weird talk. I just want to live my life. Just leave me alone. Well, that's what's going to be so interesting about this series. As Chris and I were establishing some of these truths, we found out that the majority of these truths are going to hit the lazy people. They're also going to hit those of you that are tired of life. Right? You wake up, you wipe a few noses, wipe a few butts, go to school, go to work, maybe stay home, do a lot of work, come back, eat, get kids ready, go to sleep, and then the next morning, do it all over again. And those people that are sitting in this weird thing called Earth, this merry-go-round that we call life, and for those people that say, I just don't have the time, and I just don't have the desire to find out truth. But do you see how vitally important it is? Because when you start discovering truth, your life will start reflecting the truths that you hold. Now, Grant, I will give you there's going to be this other category of people that hold on to a truth, but their lives don't reflect it, right? We got a name for those people, right? What do we call those people? Hypocrites, right? Raise your hand if you're a hypocrite. Woo! Yes. Oh, we got some work to do on this crowd here. Yeah. You mean there's other people here that have truth and have done things that have not been contrary to those truths? Man, yeah, okay. We got a few more hands there. Yeah, if I won't teach you anything, that invite your people that say that hypocrites are at church because we always have room for one more hypocrite. There's a couple rows, a couple seats right up here. Yes, if you find a perfect church, please don't attend there. You won't fit in and you'll destroy them. Okay. So if you find that perfect church, you will. Have you ever been in a church full of perfect people? Oh my gosh. Or a church full of people that think they're perfect. Oh my goodness gracious. Run for the hills, right? Yeah, you don't want to be a part of that. So the problem is most people don't know or don't care. And through this series, because we're going to be talking about the core truth of life, I want us to actually come to the conclusion that, first of all, that there is truth, and second of all, we need to have some anchor points. We need to be able to put our ship that's floating around in this crazy storm, we need to be able to put our anchors down on these certain rock-solid truths. Now, again, looking at these from a distance, they're not necessarily biblical. They're just life-oriented. But then you're going to find out quickly that everything that we're going to talk about is actually still rooted in the Bible, and God said it first. Fascinating enough. Here's some things I want you to think about when it comes to truth. First of all, I want you to be skeptical. Now, this is one of the great things of my generation. We have now thrown out all authority, right? I don't care who you are or what degrees you have or what life experiences you have. I am not going to trust what you say until I investigate those claims myself. Now, this is different from previous generations that would often take an authority figure, such as a pastor, and say whatever the guy says must be absolutely golden. He is the authority and he's dispensing truth. Well, along came my generation and says, pooey on that, we're going to go and discover exactly what truth is all about. And I invite you, please be skeptical. Do not get your truth from the 5 o'clock news. How many of you do that? How many of you say, I am going to discover the world events by watching the 5? Now, I watch 5 o'clock news, don't get me wrong. I like to have some ideas of what's going on out there. But I'm not going to live my life by the truths that some executive producer who's older than me is telling me what the truth is. And I'm not bashing old people, don't get me wrong. But I'm not going to take that authority as the truth. How did this happen? I'm going to touch on a very touchy subject, and I'm really sorry if this is going to offend some of you, but I have to harken back to the O.J. Simpson trial. How many of you made your verdict of guilt or innocence on O.J. Simpson based upon the news? Yeah, be honest. Come on. I know y'all did. I know y'all did. Another question. How many of you, because I know this happened, because I was at seminary at the time when the verdict was read, how many of you watched court TV and actually watched the entire proceedings? No one? Now, see, that's really a shock to me. At seminary, I didn't find one person, because I asked a ton of guys. I'm like, you know, they're all saying, he's guilty of sin, guilty of sin, guilty of sin. The hammer of God of justice will crush him like the little weasel that he is. And I would always ask him, did you watch the whole thing out of curiosity? Did you see the whole thing? And there was one guy that, sure enough, watched the whole proceedings. He would tape them during class. He didn't have much of a social life, I agree. And he would go back to his dorm room and sit there and watch court TV and watch the O.J. Simpson trial. And you know how long that thing took, right? And then when the O.J. Simpson verdict came down, everyone cried foul. Why? Because they had made their verdict based upon the 5 o'clock news. I'm not here announcing O.J.'s guilt or innocence because, I'll tell you honestly, I didn't watch it either. I got my stuff from little snippets, little things here and there, and that's how I determined O.J.'s guilt or innocence. But I cannot perfectly say without a shadow of a doubt that what they did was wrong, because there were 12 people that sat there that day, those days, in that courtroom, and they determined, as the judge had instructed me on Thursday, that you will have to determine the facts. You will be the judges of truth. And those found him innocent. Now, of course, you can go on to the civil trial and that he did get convicted in civil court. But how many times have we made our ideas on even foreign relations? Watch the Israel-Palestine. You know, it's all over the news, right? Israel versus Palestine. Watch how many times the news makes Palestine sound like it's suffering and Israel sound like it's this aggressive, mean, big bully on the block. I seriously have, and every time I see something on Palestine or Israel, all I see are how the Palestinians are being pushed around and the Israelites are coming in like big bad brother and beating them up over it. Are you going to determine your truth based on that? Are you going to come to the conclusion that Israel should be destroyed because of what it's doing? Are you going to base your decisions on those claims? And now I'm talking about everything. I don't want you to be sitting here listening to me and going, oh, wow. This guy has all truth and all knowledge. I'm going to write everything down. I'm going to paste it on my wall. Pastor Mark says. No, I want you to be skeptical of me. Everything I say, take it. Examine it. Find out if it's true. It's going to happen a lot, right? Have you all got your little your voting pamphlets now? Ours just came in the mail. And especially mine, City of Orange, and that is all these claims you're watching on TV, especially Bill Simon versus Gray Davis. Are you going to determine the truth based upon those TV commercials? Again, a lot of us don't know or don't care. And I'm saying know and care. Start getting skeptical about what people are saying. And let me tell you this. If you get skeptical about what I'm saying, I'll never get angry. I'll never become impatient. I'll never fly off the handle. I'll simply wait. I have found this. Of all people who actually have truth, real truth, they are usually the most patient people in the world because they realize if they are on the side of truth, as Jesus says, if you are on the side of truth, go ahead, investigate. Look at it all you want. Check out the claims. I don't care. You're going to come to the same conclusion that I have. The people I get nervous of are those salesmen that come to your door. I hope I'm not offending any salesmen here. Salesmen that come to your door and they say, we want to do this for your carpets and this is the price that we're going to give you. And you say, wow, I'd really like to think about it. And they say, if we have to come back, we're going to have to charge you an extra $100, $200, whatever, right? At that point, I'm just, no, thank you. Because anyone who has the truth is going to be very patient as you examine those claims. Even Jesus said this. Look up here on PowerPoint, Luke chapter 20. Beware of the teachers of the law. In other words, beware of pastors. You could translate that. Yes, pastors. I'm not going to get offended. I don't care if you get skeptical of me. But don't just get skeptical and then not do anything. Don't just don't know or don't care. know, and care. What did he say? They like to walk around in flowing robes. This is why I don't dress up in church, right? And they love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets, right? Certain things, that certain places you reserve for the pastor, he always has to say the prayer for everything. Yeah, this is what they like to do. And what does he say about them? Beware of them. Watch out. In other words, be skeptical. So even Jesus, because Jesus all along his life, he just kept on saying, I tell you the truth. Be skeptical. Investigate my claims. If you say I cannot heal, if you say I cannot save, well, then you better have some proof to back it up. But if you believe that I can heal, if you believe that I can save, there's going to be a whole bunch of other things that you're going to have to look at. Also, be open. Be open to the truth. Because this is very important. A lot of truth claims and a lot of truth is pretty outrageous. It's pretty crazy. Sometimes the excuse you give to your wife of why you're home so late at night is probably more easy to understand than the actual truth. It's the truth that always seems to get us in trouble, because the truth sometimes can be absolutely outrageous. There was truth. There was people that believed that there was no way that people could fly. The truth of the matter was aerodynamics didn't have that possibility. They didn't have that ability. And then that truth was broken because some people were skeptical and some people were open, and they said maybe the truth out there is just a little crazy. And it doesn't matter if it's crazy or not. That's not what makes or breaks truth. Let's take a look at some things that Jesus said here with Matthew. Some of you might say that to do anything important in life, I need to become a doctor, a lawyer, a politician. In order to affect the kingdom of God, I need to become a pastor or a musician or a DCE. No. Jesus comes along and he says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Now, I know this happens over in here, right? My son always wants water. And it's always amazing watching people dispense water and give it to my son or give it to another child. Did you catch what Jesus said? I tell you the truth. You have just amazingly affected the kingdom of God. Now, some of you are also going to make the claim that to get into heaven, I need to become wise and sophisticated. I need to have all knowledge. I need to have no doubts whatsoever in my mind. And then Jesus comes along here, and what does he say? I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. What a radical truth. Now, this might sound crazy, but yet it's true. Let's take a look at the next one. Some of you still believe and hold on to the idea, the concept, that all you have to do is do more good things than bad things throughout your lifetime, and you've made it. You've gotten into heaven. Jesus comes along with a very radical statement, but it's the truth, he claims. Don't take my word for it, but don't just be skeptical and walk out. Don't just don't know or don't care. Know and care. And what does he say? I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. That's the truth. It may sound outrageous. It may sound crazy, but yet it's still the truth. And finally, you're going to be skeptical, you're going to be open, and then I want you to be critical. I don't want you to just be critical of other people. Don't get me wrong, because then we get into this weird thing called being a Pharisee and judgmentalism and stuff like that. We don't want you to do that. What do I want you to be critical of? Yourself. The pastor. Yeah. Yourself. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you can be critical. Yeah, be critical. Be critical of your life. Again, this goes right back to the point. Once again, so many people just don't know or don't care. They're walking around this crazy life with no truth, with no anchors, with nothing to hold on to. And then they find truth, and you start reading the Bible, and you see how many times Jesus talks about truth. Again, be skeptical. Check it out. See if that. But once you establish that something is true, then let your life reflected. Your life will be lived based upon the truths that you hold. And if you are holding truth and your life is not conforming to the truth that you hold, you need to start becoming critical of your own life. Let's take a look at this. Ask yourself the question, am I happy the way I'm living? And am I living according to the truth? So many people are not happy the way they're living because they're not living without any truth. So many people, and I'm claiming today, that the truth is found in none other than Jesus Christ, His death and His resurrection, His salvation of us from sin, death, and the power of the devil, His love for us that was so great that He was willing to sacrifice it all. These are all truth claims I am making. You can be skeptical. That's fine. Investigate it. Check it out. Test it out. See if it actually works. Because if you're not living your life according to any truth, you're going to have a really miserable life. That I can pretty much guarantee. But if you start living your life according to the truth, and Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you start living your life according to what Jesus says, and Jesus believes, and Jesus does, then you need to start becoming that critical thing if you are living according to your truth. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. I got it up here on PowerPoint. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Hold it up on this slide here for a moment. Discovering and living by truth is hard. I'm not going to say that this is some little walk in the park that you're going to be really excited about. No, it takes hard work. It takes work trying to discover what is the truth. It takes work to be open to the truth. It takes work to be critical of yourself. Have you ever tried to sit down and do a self-examination and say to yourself, looking at absolutely every portion of your life and saying, is this all in conformity to the will of God? Oh, my friends, it's hard. It's hard. But the writer of Hebrews says, don't become lazy. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Be skeptical, be open, and be critical. My friends, the first core truth of life is that there is truth. And you could put under that, His name is Jesus.